Well, greetings, friends, wherever you are at today. Hey, I'm going to share a few things in a moment, but as always, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button down there. Check out my email newsletter below as well. I'll be sending one out later this week. You get a free gift when you sign up there. Boom. What else is going on? So I was in London. I'm in the UK this week. I was in London yesterday. I'm now in Cheshire. I will be in Liverpool today, Manchester later the week, and preaching in Wales this weekend, and then back to the US next week. So, yeah, good to be back in the homeland, and all is good. Yesterday I was really jet-lagged and driving tired, but up at the crack of dawn today, just been for a walk by the River Mersey here, ferry over the Mersey. So, good, all is good. A couple of quick practical things as well. I have a new course on my ministry school. I've just been working at revamping my ministry school in the last few months. In September of this year, we're going to open a once a day in-person ministry school. So we have videos online, but also a full day, like 8-hour school in New England. Also looking at doing a satellite of that in Ireland. And I have a new course on the goodness of God that is still half price. Details below. Let me mention lastly as well, I'll be taking a really an amazing team, actually a really great group, to Ireland on a missions trip in the month of May 3rd through the 10th. It's going to be really just a great time of mentoring and development and a mission as well. We're going to be doing lots of worship, teaching every day, visiting churches, putting on our own conference there. Just a lot of great things. So if you're interested in coming along on that, check out my website, gjm.org. There should be some details for that. Boom. Well, I was just walking today thinking about this and thinking about one of my favorite scriptures. Sort of do a quick teaching on this today. Proverbs 4, 20 to 22 is an amazing passage. It's one of the best passages, one of the greatest keys to receiving healing that I know. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them before your eyes. For my words, are life to those who find them, and health or healing to all of their flesh." And I don't know any better way of getting healed than Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. And yet, in the same way, if you were talking about helping somebody break free from something in their life, you know, depression or some addiction or, you know, any kind of sin thing, it would be the same thing. Proverbs 20 to 22 is the way to go. And but the very next verse is one of my favorite. It says, "Above all things, above anything else you do, guard your heart, for out of your heart flow the issues of life, the sources of life." I was singing a song the other day in Sturbridge. It's out of really Psalm 42, which says, "All my fountains are in you. Deep cries out to deep." And how do we just, why should we keep our hearts and how do we keep our hearts? Just a few quick thoughts on that today. I mean, number one, really everything God is ever going to do is going to flow out of your heart. You don't give your head to Jesus. Jesus does not live in your head as information or doctrine. The Bible says that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. So everything God does flows from your heart. And your heart is the, you know, I know kind of word of faith people want to say, what's the spirit man? Like, yeah, I think the heart, I would say it's used interchangeably between the spirit and soul at times in the Old and New Testament. But the heart basically means the center. It means the very core being of yourself. Paul talks about the hidden man of the heart, the innermost you, the real you. And however you want to define that, the writer here in Proverbs is saying, guard your heart above everything. Keep it, guard it, watch over it, steward it. Look at it like maybe a garden or something like that, that you watch over every day. And I think the challenge in the walk, in our walks with God, in the Christian life, is so often we don't watch over our hearts, and then we end up months, days, months, weeks, years later in a situation where our hearts are in a really bad place. And you sometimes wonder, why am I in this place? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why are we depressed? Why do we feel far from God? And we're kind of sometimes praying, God, would you come and touch me? And the issue is putting the right things in our hearts and getting the wrong things in your hearts. So I want to give you four quick keys that really help you there. Number one, this is good news and this is bad news, but it actually takes quite a long time to change your heart. You know, you don't harden your heart overnight. You harden your heart over time by not engaging with the voice of God. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. And what happens over a period of time is if we keep doing the wrong things, we keep allowing the wrong things in, we keep engaging with the wrong things, we end up with a heart hardening of the arteries, literally a hardened heart in that way. And in the same way, though, if we keep doing the right things, we end up with a soft heart. So while God will occasionally supernaturally come and touch us and transform us in that way, usually his best is that we will soften our hearts over time, will God, then we'll keep our hearts soft and tender and pure before the Lord. And that is the work of days, weeks, months, and years, not about some instant having hands laid upon you thing to transform you. So understand, your heart really is like a garden. Yeah, and it takes time to grow things, but what you plant in your heart really will grow. Good. So come on, key number two, be aware how your heart is. I think for some of us, probably more so for guys, but in our busy, distraction, bright, shiny object world, we really are often not even aware how our hearts are. And it's like Gordon MacDonald wrote years ago about a sinkhole syndrome. It's like some, you know, at times suddenly it's the ground sinks, literally there's a massive hole that opens up in the ground. And what's happened is there's an underwater, pool of water, a reservoir of water, if you will, that gets drained after time, and suddenly there's that collapse. And I think what often happens when people crash and burn, have a breakdown, these kind of things, it's often for a long period of time, something has been going on in their hearts they're not even aware of. So here's my question to you. How is your heart? And you may think that's an easy question to answer. I don't think it always is. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. And I think the point is God is actually making there is more that our hearts are deceptive. We don't know our hearts. It takes God to come and reveal our hearts to us. And again, he can do that supernaturally. He can do that through circumstances. When he can do that at times through when something steps on your toe, the first word out of your mouth will reveal the state of your heart. You know, he can do that by the words of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew 12:34. He can do that with, you know, what we do with our treasure, both our time and our money. Where the treasure is, there the heart will be. So actually going on a process, I'm in England, a journey of saying to the Lord, Lord, show me my heart, search my heart and know me. If there be any wicked way in me, if the heart of man is desperately wicked, the antidote is, Lord, search my heart. The answer isn't actually that I approve of my own heart. I look at me and I go, Graham, I think you're doing really well. Rather, I seek the opinion, so to speak, the judgments of God. And I say, Lord, how do you think I'm doing? And Lord, search my heart and know me. Come on, key number three, learn to weed and seed. So what do I mean by this? Number one, learn to sow good seeds in your heart. It's actually really simple, because whatever is in your mind, whatever is in your mouth, whatever is the focus of your attention, over time will end up sinking into your heart for good or for bad. Do you remember in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, when Jesus is talking about sin, and it's interesting, he makes the point, if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery. He didn't say lust in his head. So my point is, I could be walking down the road today and some drop-dead gorgeous girl walks in front of me, and I can go, wow, you know, inside of me, that's a thought in my head. In, out, that's nice, boom, move on. The difference, how do I get a thought in my heart, you know, for anything, is by thinking about it, by engaging with it. So for me to look at somebody and go, wow, they're really attractive, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Anybody who says they don't do that is a liar. Okay, the issue is the second look, the third look, the thought, the imagination with that. Jesus said, if you have anger in your brother, you know, in your own heart, you've committed murder. He didn't say to have the thought in the head. So if somebody cuts across me today, or, you know, yesterday I was so tired, I was jet lagged or whatever, I'm trying to rent a car and The shuttle took about 40 minutes to pick me up, and I'm just being grumpy. You've never done this, right? And here's my point. You know, I'm tempted to, what kind of service do you call this, to talk to the people? And then I just brush it off and go, this is a guy, he's working hard. He's just earning his living, and I'm not going to be that rude person who got off the plane and start shouting at him. And so thought in the head, no problem. Keep engaging with it, and it ends up in the heart. One of the reasons you know, it's a real key, one of the keys to knowing something's in your heart is it just keeps popping up, and you keep finding it again in your head. You know, push that away, and it keeps popping up again. You've allowed it to get into your heart. That's where it can become a sin issue. So sin is not what happens in the head. Sin is what happens in the heart. So how do we get something in there for good? We take what God says. We think whatever things are good, pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things. When we engage ourselves with the things of God and meditate on them, they will sink into our heart. And again, the really wonderful thing is they'll pop up out of our heart. You know, the great thing is, years ago, the Lord told me about ministry. He said, don't so much prepare sermons, prepare your heart. Now, I don't mean I don't prepare a sermon. I collect a few ideas and pray over them, preach it to myself. I put a lot of work into that. But I never, if I can really tell you honestly, I never look at notes when I stand up. It's actually hard for me to do. I've done it for so many years without it. Why? Because I've got this store treasure within me. So whatever you think on, meditate, give your focus to, again and again, will sink into your heart for good or for bad. How do you get things out of your heart? I wish I knew. No, I know. Number one, repent. Say, Lord, I've allowed something in here that shouldn't be in here. And at times, you know, there's a place, without being weird, to take authority over that thought. If you've allowed a root of bitterness, you've allowed unforgiveness, you've allowed anger, these kind of things into your heart, you know, get before God, you repent. Well, Graham, you don't know what they did. No, I don't. But I know what you did if you allowed it into your heart. So repent, get rid of it. Give it to God, cast the care of it in Him. And then I think what you've got to do, here's the real key, is every time it rises up from your heart to your head, come back to that posture, that place, that position of repentance, of forgiveness, of I will not touch this. This is God. I've cast the care of Him. I believed I received the wisdom I need to deal with this, but I'm not going to mentally rehearse this. No, I give it to God. And if you just keep doing that, after a while, that root gets lifted out of you. Boom. Come on, let me end with this today. But number four, learn to incubate things in your heart. The Bible says Mary heard prophecies, you know, from the angel Gabriel, from Zacharias, from Elizabeth, the shepherds, all these things. And it says she stored up these things in her heart and pondered them. And I think there are things God will want to do in us and through us. There are areas He will want to develop us. There are things He'll want us to have faith for 6 months or 6 years down the road. And we need to learn to take what God says and incubate it. Again, it really comes back to step number one. We need to learn that it takes time for our hearts to do things, to engage with things. So what we should be doing, dripping tap in this cottage, what we should be doing there is learn to incubate the good things of God. Learn to actually hold some things in your heart for a while. I have a few situations I'm praying over right now. And I don't want somebody to come and tell me the answer. You know, even if God gave me the answer, maybe my heart wouldn't be in the place to receive the answer. And I want to let those things grow in my heart until they clarify. Sometimes God will be calling us to do something and we're not in a place of faith to step into what He calls us to do. And He'll speak a word to us, not simply to show us a future, but the very word will get us into the place where we are able to engage with that thing. So learn to hold things. Learn to have a store treasure in your heart. Mary stored these things up in her heart, meditated them. Well, that's thinking, which pushes it back in there again. So boom. Hope that's a help, guys. Come on, let's be people of good heart. Let's be stout-hearted people. It's interesting, in the last year, how many people have quoted me a passage that I'm sure they've never even read about the sons of Isaac. And they always quote one verse. And I always say, what are the next five verses saying? Not one person has ever known. It talks about the sons of Isaac, who are discernment of the times and seasons. And then it says, men of good heart, of solid heart, they were not double-minded, and they knew how to stay in rank and march in rank. And they came together with one purpose, to make David king. So Boom. Let's be people of good heart in Jesus' name. Thanks for watching, guys. Again, hit that YouTube subscribe button if you're there. Do check out some of the links below. Sign up for that email newsletter. And I hope to see you soon in the plan of God. Bye for now.